IRA, life annuity, or retirement plan? Well, I've got good news for you. Tax and financial guru Daryl Madison will be able to help you understand funding, financing, and investing in this turbulent financial season. Call him, the tax and financial guru, Daryl Madison, at 813-872-9900. That's 813-872-9900. Tell him you heard about him from Miss Floria Diva of the Dawn Reese radio show, Hollywood Connections, Tan Talk 1340 on your AM dial.
Initialize sequence now.
Join the countdown. For actors, modeling, singers, songwriters, musicians, dancers, performers, and voiceovers from across the nation to across the world. Here with Dawn Reese on Hollywood Connections on Tan Talk Radio 106.1 FM.
Hey, this is Vern Troyer, and you're listening to Dawn Reese's Hollywood Connections.
Hey, what up, you guys? It's your girl, Vivica Fox. You are watching Hollywood Connections on Tan Talk Radio with Dawn. Little foxy thing. Enjoy.
Hi, you're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese, and I'm Kathleen Gatti from General Hospital, Dr. Liesl Obrecht.
Hello, I'm Butch Patrick, and you're listening to Dawn Reese's Tan Talk Radio, Hollywood Connections.
John Schneider, you're listening to Dawn Reese on Hollywood Connections.
Listening to Hollywood Connections, I'm Kirstie Alley.
You are listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn.
And this is Kelly Preston, I'm so excited.
Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream? Everybody comes here. This is Hollywood, land of dreams. Some dreams come true, some don't. But keep on dreaming. This is Hollywood. Always time to dream, so keep on dreaming.
Welcome to Hollywood Connections special, and this is a special with my beauty queen reporters from Hollywood, Florida, and we are going to kick it off. Deidre, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. So excited for this month's show.
Oh, I know. I'm so excited for you. Is our guest on the line as well?
Yes, Marty is here.
Perfect. Let me just say, I'm going to shut the mics off. We're going to go live on TikTok and promote you as well, Deidre. And Marty Jean, welcome to Deidre's special. And take it away, because he is from the International Christian Film Festival. He's a producer. And then you have all the rest of the information, Deidre. It's your half hour. Enjoy, and we'll be back. God bless you.
All right. Thank you so much. Hi, Marty. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so as Dawn said, you are the founder of International Christian Film and Music Festival, which I got to go in 2019. That was so awesome. And you're also the president, CEO of 24 Flicks. You're also a producer, director, editor, and writer. So you do a lot of things in the entertainment industry. So how did you get involved in the entertainment industry? What was that first moment where you realized you wanted to do something in this field?
Thank you for the question. When I was very young, right about 9 years old, I felt the love of photography and video, and I would borrow, as I call it, my parents' camera when they were not there, and me and my brothers would be making homemade movies. And
wow.
From there on, I enjoyed every moment of it.
That's awesome. See, I love how, like, that first spark where you realize your passion, and when it comes natural to you and you just run after that, that's awesome. So, Christian films, they have a huge impact on people and just films in general. Do you recall a film that you first saw that inspired you to want to direct or want to write?
I really loved the old films. When I was younger, I wanted to be the next Steven Spielberg. I really wanted to do that because I really loved his types of movies. Anything that he put out, I really enjoyed. There were not a specific movie that I saw that said, okay, I want to direct, I want to do this, or I want to do that. It's just, yeah. I just enjoyed the industry as a whole.
That's good, yeah. Steven Spielberg, he's great to look up to. He's done so many awesome movies. And you have a movie coming out that you produce. It's called Don't Say My Name. I got to see the trailer that was released. I know it's about human trafficking, but can you tell us more about the film and how did that all come together?
Yeah, it is an amazing project. I am so proud to be a part of this project. And it is very different from the trafficking films perhaps you or your viewers or your listeners have seen. It mm-hmm. focuses more on the aftermath. So in other words, most movies, most trafficking movies you see shows there's a problem and shows that, okay, we need to rescue this person. And they do show the rescue part. And then after the rescue, the movie ends. But we feel that the story does not end. The story right. really has just begun. So we focus on the aftermath of this girl. How does she manage after she's been through all of that? That's the story of Adriana in this movie, Don't Say My Name.
Right, and I just took a human trafficking class in it, and it talks about there's a trauma that these girls or men or kids go through when they're in human trafficking. And so there is a process afterwards that they need healing and they need special techniques for them to get back on their feet because their whole life was taken from them. So that's
exactly.
Awesome.
Exactly. Yeah, so we want this to be a healing film.
Yeah.
For those survivors as well.
That's amazing. And do you mention it, like, towards the end of the film, like, organizations people can get involved with?
Yeah, so the film is not over. We're still in the process of post-production, doing all the edits. But on our website, we do have a website for the film, don'tsaymyname.com. We do have organizations where people can support.
That's awesome. I think it's like a hidden crime that not too many people know of. So that's amazing you're putting that out there. And hopefully people will pay attention to what they see is happening on the street and want to get involved. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. I think it's very, very important that people are aware. There are so many people, as we were doing the research, that were clueless about human trafficking. So we want to shed the light, and we want to send that message to those that perhaps don't know.
Yeah, for sure. So since you are involved so much in the entertainment industry, do you have a favorite part about creating, you know, a movie or a TV series? Do you have any fun set stories that you've experienced?
Yeah, my favorite part is actually the producing part. You know, that's where you put everything together. Even the pre-production part, where you have an idea and your ideas start coming to life. That is just an amazing thing to watch. Just an idea, it gets written down, and you start getting actors. And everything starts coming together. And then I just love that part, like that being that person that pulls everyone together to create this beautiful piece of art.
That's incredible. That's so fun. It's fun to like write something and then see it come to life on camera. And you had it in your head first, you imagine it, and then you see it. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's pretty neat to see.
So any fun set stories that you have, like maybe a funny story on set or any fun moments on set that you've had?
I mean, there's funny moments. There are a lot of moments on set that is absolutely awesome for us. In this last project that we did, we had such a so many powerful moments where the actors got into character so much that they broke down. And I've seen this happen in this movie probably five times. Because this movie is so powerful. They just broke down. And it was such a powerful moment for the entire team to witness. Mm-hmm. And we knew that this movie is going to really make an impact.
That's so cool. If the actors are affected, you know that's going to come off on camera and the audience will feel it too. So.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So yeah, in 2019, I got to go to the International Christian Film Festival for the first time, and I was so amazed by all the actors that were there, directors, the films, and I got to meet some of my favorite actors because I watch a lot of Christian films, and it was just awesome being on the red carpet and meeting people, and I got to interview people there. I'm just curious, how did the International Christian Film Festival start? Like, how did you get involved? Well, how did you... get involved with so many filmmakers and music artists and actors? Like, how did it all come together?
That's a very good question. I'm going to give you the short version of that. So when my kids were much younger, there was a film festival in Orlando that I would take them every year. And one year, I knew it was in the fall, and we were waiting for this because we go every year. And I'm waiting for it, and it just never showed. And I was asking, there were no information anywhere as to what happened. So I know a friend that knows everything about everything, about everyone. So I called him. And he knew the answer. He said, "Hey, Marty, unfortunately, the person that was funding it will not be funding it anymore." And at that moment, I felt God speaking to me, saying, "You should do it." And at that very moment, I said, "Absolutely no." And for two years, I fought God, says, "I am not doing this. I don't want to do this. I really don't want to do this." And it got so strong where I just want God off my back. And I said, if you really want me to do this, I need a sign. I'm trying to trick God, right? I'm trying to trick God. I need a sign that is undeniable. Like, I can't deny that really wants me to do it. And I went to an event talking to that same friend that I told you that would know everything about everyone. And he said to me, "Hey, Marty, remember that film festival?" And then he said, "You should do it." And at that moment, I was so disappointed because,
wait,
because
is that your answer?
I knew that was my sign that I was asking for, and I still didn't want to do it. But I knew I had to. I knew I had to. So I started making plans, doing some research, and I did not attend any real festival on purpose. I said, "You know what? If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this not like everyone else does. I'm going to do this with fresh ideas." I mean, that's definitely a risk because you know, there's a formula that you follow for festivals and you do that. And I didn't want to follow the formula. I wanted to come with new ideas. I don't know if I should keep going, or I'm not sure how much time we have.
I don't know. Like, that's an awesome story. I mean, you know, if God, like, puts that on your heart, and you know, like, he's going to help you through all of it, you know, because it was his idea, it was his plan. and he just wants someone available, then you are, you're available, and, you know, it's impacting a lot of people. And so, to, like, have my next question is, like, how has the festival opened new doors for people? Do you have testimonies of people, or from people who have been to the festival?
Oh, my gosh. That is a great question. Yes. So many great things have come out of the festival. Mm-hmm. And by great things, I mean all sorts of great things, including people getting together to make movies, people getting together to start businesses, people getting together to fellowship, people getting together to pray for each other, to support each other. I mean, there have been now lifelong friends because of the festival. In fact, Don't Say My Name came from ICFF. The writers came to ICFF for the first time, and that's how it all came about. And a lot of other movies. Another movie that I produced came from the festival as well. And I heard a lot of other stories like that. Hey, I met this person because of the festival. Another person became an agent, an actor's agent, because of the festival. And she has a successful firm now. She represents a ton of actors, and all because of the film festival. I mean, there's a ton of stories like that.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love how God does things like that, because I went, it was amazing, and it really impacted me. So I know it impacts so many people. And I know you had one this year. It was a little different. It was online. Is there a way for people to go online and see the films from 2020's festival?
We did have most like 90% of the films on 24 Flicks. We still do have some on 24 Flicks because we had a limited license for that period. But once that's done, we had to pull them from 24 Flicks. But we still do have some on there that people can watch. Absolutely.
Yeah, so tell us about 24 Flicks, because that's like, is that like, you have different things on there. You have like kids shows, interviews, movies, comedy, sports, classics, and there's a monthly subscription. So tell us about how, maybe how that started, or how that came to be.
Sure. 24 Flicks started actually as an online 24/7 television station. So we started that, and very quickly we realized that's not going to work because people don't want that anymore. They want to watch things when they want. And 24 Flicks is all about family-friendly entertainment. So no cursing, no nudity, no sexual content, all clean stuff. So there's feature films, there's comedy, there's short films, and there's even stuff in Spanish. I mean, there's kids shows. There's a whole variety of different things, and it's only like $4 a month. Literally, that's really cheap.
That's so cool. That's awesome. So, yeah, you're doing so many awesome things in the entertainment industry. I think that's so important to have good, clean material. You're definitely being blessed for that, and other people are being blessed by it. Do you have any advice for filmmakers or anyone who wants to be in the entertainment industry?
Of course. yes, definitely, definitely have lots of advice. How much time do you have? I'm kidding.
I think I have about 5 minutes.
Okay, great. So for you that are into the entertainment industry, first of all, know that it's going to be difficult. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be very hard, and that's why a lot of people quit, because it's extremely hard. It takes time, and a lot of times people don't have time. They're like, oh, man, I've been in this thing for like a year, and nothing's happening. It takes time. And during that time, What I would suggest is learn, ask, you know, do stuff for free. That's okay, because what that does is that it puts stuff on your resume. Because if you have nothing on your resume, chances are no one will hire you. But if you have stuff on your resume, no one knows that you did it for free, but all they know is that you have experience, and that's what they look for. So it's okay. Do stuff for free, okay? Be background actor. Do a stand-in. Volunteer. Get involved with a production company or anyone. You will learn so much by doing so. Right now, it's harder to do that, but you can still learn. Go to YouTube University. There's so much to learn. And we are putting together classes, online classes, that are, again, safe, clean. That's why we built the Light University. And it's specifically for that. That way you can learn about filmmaking. You could learn about acting. You could learn about a variety of different things. I think it's really important to keep learning. And be humble. Know that, yes, people are going to be better than you, and that's okay. You're going to be intimidated because, man, I don't have any experience. I don't know if I should. Yes, you should. Go for it. You're going to make mistakes. Get back up and try again, and do it again, and do it again, and do it again. That's how people will notice you. That's how you will become better. I'm sorry, I was ranting.
Amen. No, I wish we could go all day. But that is so true. Like, when you're passionate about something and God has called you to it, it's easy for anyone to want to give up, but that's so true. I think we can forget to keep going and to do stuff for free. I'm sure, I think people think they'll get into the entertainment industry, become a millionaire after the first film they do or something. But it does take a lot of time and a lot of work and a lot of effort, and it takes perseverance. So that's awesome. If you could, how can we follow you and your upcoming projects, your social media or your name of your website?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on social media. If you look me up, Marty Jean-Louis, you could go to 24flix.com. TheLightUniversity.com, DontSayMyName.com, InternationalCFF.com. I know, it's a lot. But yeah, follow me on social media. Just look for Marty Jean-Louis. I think I'm the only one, I think.
Maybe. But you know what? I am so thankful. You definitely inspired me to definitely keep going, because I've had dreams of entertainment industry since I was probably 7 or 8 years old. And so I'm still doing and still chasing after that. And however God wants to use me, I'm open to it. And so, yeah, I definitely want to keep going. And I'm just thankful for the film festival and 24 Flicks and all the stuff that you're doing, and excited for Don't Say My Name. So yeah, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me. We really had a great conversation. So anytime you want to talk to me, you know how to find me.
All right, thanks, Maria. I hope you have a great night.
All right, you have a blessed night as well.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Initialize sequence now.
Join the countdown. For actors, modeling, singers, songwriters, musicians, dancers, performers, and voiceovers. From across the nation to across the world. Here with Don Reese on Hollywood Connections on Tan Talk Radio 106.1 FM.
Hey, this is Vern Troyer, and you're listening to Don Reese's Hollywood Connections.
Hey, what up, you guys? It's your girl, Vivica Fox. You are watching Hollywood Connections on Tan Talk Radio with Dawn. Little foxy thing. Enjoy.
Hi, you're listening to Hollywood Connections with Don Meese, and I'm Kathleen Gatti from General Hospital, Dr. Liesl Obrecht.
Hello, I'm Butch Patrick, and you're listening to Don Reese's Tan Talk Radio, Hollywood Connections.
John Schneider, you're listening to Don Reese on Hollywood Connections.
Listening to Hollywood Connections, I'm Kirstie Alley.
You are listening to Hollywood Connections with Don.
And this is Kelly Preston, I'm so excited.
Welcome to Hollywood, what's your dream? Everybody comes here. This is Hollywood, land of dreams. Some dreams come true, some don't, but keep on dreaming. This is Hollywood, always time to dream, so keep on dreaming.
Hi, welcome to Hollywood Connections Beauty Queen Special. If you'd like to be a beauty queen, you can text 727-871-7788 to be one of my reporters. Now, we have Teresa from the World Tourism Pageant System. We're going to put her on the air with her amazing guest. And Teresa, are you there?
Yes, how you doing, Dawn?
I'm so excited for your half hour. I couldn't read your message on Facebook because I'm on TikTok Live and I got five things going with cameras in the house. But are you ready for your show?
Yes, I am.
And Lisa's on the phone, too.
Okay, Lisa needs to be in the house.
Okay.
So anyways, I think she has another Lisa, right?
Okay.
Your guest? Yes. I think they're your guest, right?
Well, I have Deborah and Mary, her friend. She's an RN, and she's going to give us some health tips. I believe Ashley's been trying to get through, and I don't know exactly who's on the other side, but...
Another Teresa?
It could be. Yeah, Bobby will screen them for you. Take it away. And this is Hollywood Connections Beauty Queen Special with one of our top reporters in Sacramento, California. And you can listen to this on Tan Talk Radio Network on repeat on YouTube. All right, take it away, Teresa. We're shutting the mics off. Hey, it's all yours.
Okay. Yes. I am World's Miss Classic Universe Tourism 20 and 21. And I want to say hello to Terry Moore Alexander. She's our director from the Tourism Pageant. Love you. And love our family, world family, both through some family. And our topic today will be about how to stay healthy during the coronavirus pandemic. That seems to be the big topic of today. And so I did a little research about, you know, how to stay healthy. So there's seven ways to stay healthy. One being choose fresh plant-based foods. Limit foods high in sodium, added sugar, and saturated fat. Simply, you know, choose healthy recipes. Have fun with that with your family at home. Take breaks to reduce stress. Wash your hands properly because they're always saying, you know, wash your hands, wear your mask. Drink lots of water to stay hydrated, especially this time of year during the summer. Don't forget to exercise. People are... you know, doing all kinds of fun stuff, bicycle riding, just, you know, hobbies, getting hobbies, gardening, those sort of, that kind of thing. And so, anyway, but getting back to the fresh plant-based foods, just eat simple, eat fresh, good food. Stay away from all the frozen and canned foods and all that. So that's one thing that you can do. Another one is staying... away from high sodium, added sugar, and saturated fat. Processed foods tend to be, you know, filled with sodium, added sugar, and saturated fat. And so as far as the third one, choose simple, healthy recipes. Plan healthy, simple recipes, you know, and have fun with your family and with the kids. You know, have kids if you have kids at home, have fun with them. And the other one is take breaks to reduce the stress. This is the time where people feel stressed the way we have to, you know, be sometimes at home and we're stuck and, you know, that kind of thing. So take breaks, stand up, you know, walk around during a call on the phone or whatever, you know. Make it a goal to stand up every hour, just stretch, walking. That will, you know, minimize the stress level. And then the other one is wash your hands properly. I'm always washing my hands, sanitizing them, you know, putting the gel on. And that's always very important, you know, prevent the spread of the germs and staying healthy. Drink water, staying hydrated. Drink lots of good, healthy bottles. I like the bottled water. And so, yeah, those are some ways. And then, of course, the exercise. Exercise affects your blood flow, how your body is nourished, and it can help reduce anxiety and depression. So our exercising is very important. Anyway, we have some other ladies. Who else is on the air?
I'm here, Teresa. Your friend Deborah.
Deborah? Hi, Deborah.
Deborah Hammer.
Introduce yourself,
of course,
Deborah.
You know. Full name Hammer. Yeah. So you know who I really am this time. We didn't get the last name. It's not important. Not that I'm vain. I'm not. But the whole thing is, yes, I'm here, Teresa. I was just listening to you. That's fantastic. It's very informational and very
thank you.
Good. We all need
and
to
do
that.
To
it's
add,
very important.
What do you have to add to the topic of staying healthy during the coronavirus?
I was thinking about the emotional effects, Teresa, because people have been forced to isolate for so long, as you were discussing about the foods that you're an expert about. But I was thinking more about the emotional aspects of this that's really caused a lot of problems and still will be going on for a while, because many states that are reopening are closing down areas again. This includes, of course, Florida, where this is being heard and broadcast tonight. And, of course, California is having some closures. And all around our country, this is still going on, but we're not out of this problem yet. And it's affecting people's mental and emotional well-being also, which is vital to our own physical health. And I was looking up information, Teresa, about how this does affect our health, and that on WebMD.com, they talk about how it increases the levels of stress hormones when we get anxious and upset about things. There's just certainly a lot going on right now about anxiety and stress and worry. And our hormones, such as cortisol and adrenaline, really rise. And depression can cause this, and also it affects the immune system, Teresa. So it's not good. And also anxiety, extreme anxiety that a lot of people are going through these days affects our immune system and suppresses it. And this is up on the American Psychological Association website, and found out that they had done a study of students and found that their anxiety levels directly had an effect on their immune system. And this is the APA.org site. It's called the American Psychological Association website, where they did a lot of an article was written called "Stress Weakens the Immune System." And that's it, right? And the subtitle is Friends, Relaxation, Strengthens Health. So all this going on, that said, I was thinking about what I could talk about today and praying about it, knowing that you're a Christian and you believe that way. And about a week ago on a Sunday, I asked the Lord what I could possibly share to make people feel a little better and to help me and all of us to feel better, to strengthen us and give us some comfort and hope. I couldn't think of what I might share that might be encouraging. And I asked the Lord in a prayer, I was just taking a rest, please leave me something in the Bible before I close my Bible for the evening that might be helpful to me and to everyone else. So I opened my Bible after saying that prayer, and I found myself in Matthew chapter 6 and chapter 7, a little bit of chapter 8, and guess what it was? The Sermon on the Mount. And what is it about? You know it very well, Teresa, and anybody else who's listening. We know that Jesus was talking about this very thing, not to be anxious, not to worry, and to turn to God and leave all these things with Him, and that He cares about us, you know, about the value of sparrows, the value of the birds, and how we are more important. And a little bit of that is in the King James Version, the old one of the Bible, the authentic one, that where he says, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." That's the old English. "Are ye not more or much better than they?" So So which of you, by taking thought, meaning worry, can add one cubit unto his stature? And about considering the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Well, he's talking about not worrying about many things, of course, the trees, including what we're to eat, what we're to wear, and worry in general. The Lord knew how this was definitely going to have a negative effect on us. He would know that, having created us. So he just told that people not to take, therefore, no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. And it was just a remarkable thing to me that I would go to that without any plan and find those verses that are so comforting and kind of covers everything.
Yeah, it is. It keeps, I believe that our faith helps us stay positive, and that helps with the stress that's going on right now.
Yeah,
so it helps me tremendously, you know, stay positive. And you know, if you're feeling depressed, you know, that helps.
Yeah, Teresa, the fact that I was led to them after praying means a lot, because that comes from him, maybe. Everybody listening out there, this is for you. I asked him to help everybody, so it's not
right.
Just me. But you, Teresa, and Dawn, all the people who are listening tonight. And
thank you, Deborah. Hey, listen, I have a question. Is Mary on the other line?
Yes, I'm here.
Mary.
Oh, hi,
hello.
Mary. Can you introduce yourself? Mary,
yes,
Bullard. Hey.
I'm Mary Bullard. I'm retired at this point, but I'm an RN, and I am very involved with the coronavirus. I've taken a class in contact tracing and that kind of thing, so I'm helping out as I can there. And so it's a subject I'm very interested in. And I don't want to be all gloom and doom, but we all are aware of the great rise in the cases all
yes.
over the country
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is something to be concerned about. We can't get ourselves so involved with stressing about it, but we do need to pay attention to the science and to the, what the people who are the experts in this area are telling us to do. And we've seen now that they were correct. They warned against people getting together in big crowds, and since Memorial Day about 3 weeks ago, and other gatherings and such that have happened in the streets, as well as various family gatherings starting to put together again, and people not being afraid of get-togethers. And by golly, our cases of coronavirus are just going up with a very steep slope up now, and we need to do what we need to do to bring that back down again, which we can, but it takes us all working together to do that. So we need to go back and remind ourselves of the things they've told us. And my family are not getting together. We are here in the same town. My son-in-law is a mailman, and my daughter is teaching, and I am, you know, we are just not getting together as a family because I don't want to unknowingly bring something to them. They don't want to unknowingly bring something to me. And, you know, our problem now is it's mostly younger people. Most of the cases now, the positive cases, are people between the age of 18 and 40. And
that's interesting, yeah, 18 yeah, to 40.
Yeah, it used to be. You see, they think they're not susceptible to it. Well, we're all susceptible to it because zero people are immune to it unless, except for the ones that have now had the disease, for sure. And some have had it and didn't even know it. As they're testing, they're finding much higher rates of people who show antibodies to it, which means they had the disease in the past and just weren't sick, maybe didn't show any symptoms at all, but they were giving it away to other people. And so that's why we need to reinstitute the onerous and kind of boring idea of pretty much staying to ourselves, wearing a mask, wearing gloves are not too, I go easy on the gloves. That's a good thing, but on the other hand, the glove is then part of your hand. If you use that gloved hand to touch things and then you touch your face
right.
or wipe your eyes or do something, then, you know, you just eliminated the reason you're wearing the gloves. But the hand washing and all that, and I know people who are so sick of the birthday song because that was so publicized. Sing happy birthday twice, and you've got a good 20-second hand washing. Row, row, row your boat does the same thing. There's even websites where you can go and say songs to wash your hands by or something like that, and they'll have David Bowie or whatever group you like, the Beatles or whatever, and they'll give you various songs that might be familiar to you to sing so you can vary what you sing in your mind while you wash your hands. But that is so important to keep this little thing. I won't even call it a bug. It's not a little one-celled thing like a bacteria. It's so tiny that you could take a grain of sand off the beach or out of a child's sandbox, a little grain of sand, and you can't imagine cutting that in half or in quarters. You would have to cut that little tiny grain of sand in several thousand pieces to have this virus. That's how tiny it is. And that's why masks don't prevent you from getting it. But if everyone has a mask on, then if they cough or sneeze inadvertently, even if they aren't sick, they could be passing it on. They're protecting other people. That it doesn't prevent you from getting, but it prevents you a lot as far as giving it to other people. So there's a lot of good information. If people want more information, and they should want to glean as much as they can, just a real simple, go on the computer and go to cdc.gov, cdc.gov. And that has a lot of good information, but that's national general information. The other thing they really should do is go to their local county public health department or public health services, some of them are called. And that is the good place to get your local information. And they're a wonderful source, and they're really, really starting to hone in on the contact tracing now. So the other thing I would say to somebody to help stop the spread of this thing, if you are called by a contact tracer and you are told that you have been exposed to someone who is positive to COVID-19, then cooperate with whatever they ask you. They'll want a lot of detailed questions about your contacts. And the average person who gets this and has maybe 15 contacts altogether in the last few several days, at least three of those on average have turned positive. And so each of those people is exposing other people. And that's why we, at the end of a month, have several hundred from one positive person, several hundred people.
Yeah, it just keeps spreading and spreading. Mary, thank you so much. Can you mention those websites again? Could you mention those websites again?
The general government was CDC. That's disease control, Center for Disease Control. So it's cdc.gov, G-O-V. And the other would be your local public health department, whatever county you're in. I'm in California, so I don't know your counties. I assume they're called counties in Florida and that area. Some states have different names for them. But go to your local public health department, and
they will
give you really good information.
Well, Mary, want to add in?
Thank you, Mary.
She just said to be a tracer herself. She just got 100% her test, Teresa. So she is.
Yeah, you were telling me about it.
Hey,
listen, I believe there's Ashley on the phone, too, and we only have a few more minutes left. So I'd like to hear a little bit from Ashley. So, Ashley, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here listening to all the amazing.
Hi, Ashley. Can you introduce yourself? Ashley Gordon.
Yeah, this will definitely keep me safe as well. I mean, listening to all the ideas on how to stay healthy and all the different songs that are available to us, and as a person who's been following this closely and, working in a governmental building where there's been 5 confirmed cases in just this last week, it's got everybody on edge here. And so one of the things that, as an employee, if you're still an essential employee at this time, is to ask if whatever it is that you're doing, if it's capable to be doing it at home. If it's not 125% essential for you to be in the building, definitely, get home, stay safe. Always keep yourself in your cubicle. Try to wear your mask and wash your hands as often as possible. Take the stairs, road less traveled, right? But then I'm also noticing, of course, the disparities among different demographic of people, and noticing that, in our little county here, which I would like to liken to the entire state, because San Joaquin County is one of the most diverse counties that you can really find. So, you know, I'm noticing that there's like a 41% hike here. There's 41% of those who have been considered as part of the population here who are Latino or Hispanic also make up 39% of the cases. I mean, that's pretty high. You know, then you have, of course, the Asian community who makes up 14%. They're pretty low at the 6.4% of cases. And then, you know, surprisingly, here in our valley, we have like 6.6% of the population who are African American, with only 3.1%. That's half of the population with COVID. And then, of course, their death rate is 7.7%. So it's amazing. It's astounding, the numbers, you know, seeing who's actually dying from these things. And it has to do mainly, like we were saying earlier, your diet. Just what are people eating? What are they consuming? And that doesn't necessarily mean that anybody has any better hand washing practices than anybody else, as one state official has put it. It just has to do with what we're eating. And it's really, really important, especially in the Black and Brown community, as we like to laugh at other, you know, ethnicities and other cultures for not adding, you know, seasoning salt. It's that seasoning salt that they're not adding that's actually saving their lives. So it's a different perspective to look into how we can help one another, you know, save one another. It's huge, huge deal when someone graduates from high school or college, but it's important that we celebrate that thing via Zoom, FaceTime. It's more important that we stay alive to be able to see what that, you know, 18-year-old and bumbling 22-year-old does after their graduation, you know, and hopefully they're alive to be there to do it, and hopefully you are too. I don't think that the young people are so much concerned that they're not able to catch it or that they're immune from it as much as it is that they believe that they're going to recover. It's not that we, because I'm part of the younger demographic, it's not that I believe personally that I can't catch it. I definitely believe I can catch it. But it's, in a way, it's been told that we won't die from it, that we'll be healthy, that we'll be able to get over it. And so in the younger crowd,
yeah, something, I think they keep that in, they,
yeah.
They've heard it right, so much, healthy. I guess, yeah.
Yeah, this we definitely Mary think we're healthier.
There
we'll
are
be fine.
A lot of younger people, though, they're finding that they can get very, very sick.
Very sick.
And
exactly.
I know a young man who's in his mid-30s right now, and he is in intensive care, and he
battling.
Has to have help to breathe. So there are younger people who do get sick. There was a 12-year-old who died not too long ago.
Right.
There
mm-hmm.
are very sick people sometimes, and they recover, but they
have a hard time.
They had listened a little better to,
mm-hmm.
you know, they don't die as often, but
right.
As they're getting greater numbers getting sick now, there's going to be greater
mm-hmm.
numbers of them that get very seriously ill. And even
right.
This one young man I know may not make it. And so it does happen.
Tragic.
Not to the
yeah.
extent. And I think at first, and that's true, I mean, someone of us who, those of us who are older, are more likely to be the ones that die with it. But
right. Mm-hmm.
You know, more and more we're seeing as those numbers grow and those younger people, we're going to have
mm-hmm.
more and more younger people dying also.
Right.
Hey, ladies, I just want to ask, because we only have 5 minutes left. Is there somebody else on the line? Is Lakeisha there?
No, she is not.
Who's on the line? Anybody else that we're waiting for?
Yeah, I'm here. Ashley's still here.
Okay, Ashley, so you're here, Ashley. So we're... continuing on with the coronavirus. The younger folks think they're not going to get sick or die from it. And
right.
so we just got to keep an eye on all our families and make sure that we, you know, tell them to wear the mask and, you know, use
mm-hmm.
the gel and, you know, always practice good things and teach them also about what's going on, especially the little ones, too. You have to teach them,
yeah,
you know. Yeah. Right. Because
mm-hmm.
yeah. no
one wants to see their child. One person was arguing with me a little bit about wearing a mask and saying it's my right not to wear a mask, and that is true, except it's not your right to endanger
but
other people.
But isn't it a law
and
now? You
so
have
it's
to?
It's like smoking. It's your right to smoke. But you can't smoke in a restaurant. You can't smoke in a theater.
Right.
You cannot smoke in a grocery store, because that involves endangering other people around
endangering.
You. And the same should
uh-huh.
apply to this. You must wear a mask to protect other people.
Yeah.
Right.
Nobody really, I don't think that people are recognizing that when you're in that hospital, say you're a younger person, you're in that hospital, you don't get to have your family around. It's much bigger than I think that us young ones are understanding. It's not just the fact that we might be able to get over it, but in that interim, who else did we infect? Did we infect our moms? Did we infect our dads? How about our little sister? You think our little sister wants to deal with this? I mean, it's those kind of conversations that I believe aren't hitting home. It's not just about you and your individualism. It's also about your immediate family and the community at large. And if people, I think if the new rhetoric would change from only old people are dying, only old people are dying, you know, to you can get this and you could be seriously affected. And if not you, it could be your mom. I think that would change the entire dynamic of how people are dealing with this. And also you see a bunch of people going outside for protesting or for trying to get fresh air with other friends or all these different things. And while everything is important, I just hope that people are also recognizing that their health, we have to be here to fight the fight the next day. And so if we're not out here taking precautions and important measures to keep ourselves safe and healthy, we're not going to be here to be able to carry on the torch.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the kids, the younger crowd, they miss the socializing, right? And that's,
of course,
you have to be careful with that, you know, being connecting with other people. Just they have to continue to keep the distance, 6 feet apart and all of that. So they have to be reminded at all times.
That's for a lot of people, Teresa, you know, and Ashley and Mary are there, because even older people really suffer because that was all they had. It's like going to church, the senior centers, you know, and they
We don't have that anymore.
Now there's no isolation. The churches have reopened, and a lot of them are afraid to go.
Yeah, they're raising
the virus. So there's a lot of fear.
Right.
Like I said earlier, going back to Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, remember that, everybody, because it is comforting. And to get back to God and all that, he's the only one who can really help. If there's no vaccine, they don't think Dr. Fauci was talking about that until probably next spring. So, yes, we all need to pray, keep our faith, and try to stay positive, though it's very difficult and challenging and hard to do these things. You're often by yourself.
Yeah, it's just we just have to adapt and get through this together, and listen to the experts, and you know, make sure that we're practicing the right things. So, Mary, hope that next time you'll join our show again. You're very helpful as far as this whole coronavirus and advising people. And also thank you, Ashley, for sharing, you know, your ideas on this topic. And Deborah, thank you so much and sharing, you know, the faith and to keep us all positive, because we need that these days.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.